This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
Yo, you are in the right place at the right time, listening to the right thing. Tech Webcast. Congratulations on choosing such an awesome thing to listen to. You are clearly very smart. You're into tech stuff. You love hearing Brad and Jason and their guests chat. And you're probably really good looking too. Well done. So let's get into it. The weekly tech extravaganza that is Tech Webcast. In 3, 2, 1.
And welcome to episode 227 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on the 23rd of February, 2013. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday and rebroadcast on Aussie Tech Heads on Thursday nights at 7 o'clock. Your hosts today are Brad, Jody, guest hosts Craig and Jacob, and our special guest today is Mark from Aussie Tech Head. Aussie Tech Review, right?
Yes, that's good.
Yeah, my YouTube channel is just called Mark David, though I'm known as the Aussie Tech Reviewer.
All right, Excellent. Welcome. Excellent. Great intro. Jody, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Brad. How are you?
I'm going fantastic today on this nice Melbourne day. How's the weather for you in Sydney, Mark?
I am up in Brisbane.
Oh, Brisbane. Sorry, mate.
Yeah, it's pretty good up here. I've got the fan on. It's pretty hot. I can't complain about the weather.
All right, good stuff. We also got Craig Ship on. Welcome, Craig Ship.
To be here. Yeah, it's a little bit warm down here in Sarasota, Florida, too.
All right. Good stuff. And you're from Hangout10.com.
Hangout10.com. Actually, go there and take a look. You've got some of your shows on there. Hangout10.com.
We do indeed, and we'll be chatting about that very shortly. Just try and fix the echo, mate.
Yeah, it's a wee bit of an echo.
It is. Also, we've got Jacob on. Hey, Jacob, welcome, mate.
Well, thank you.
And he's also from techluster.com.
Yes, sir.
Previous the podcast overlord.
We had a good episode. We had someone from Google.
We did. We spoke to Dory. Dory from Google. She does the chat. System, and it was quite fun talking to you, wasn't it?
Yeah, we also had on someone from Animal Hands, and
Tommy Walker was on. Yeah, he raps. So check out that episode 91 of Tech Luster. Go to YouTube and you'll see it there. Jody, how's your week been?
It's been good so far, Brad. I mean, it's the weekend, so it couldn't get much better, could it?
No, it can't.
But it's good. All good. We have a dog show this weekend, a dog match. I should say.
Good one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Good stuff. Jacob, how's your week been, mate?
Pretty good. I just got back a little while ago from meeting dinner.
Good stuff. And you probably noticed Steve is not on today. He has no word on where he is, or we haven't heard from him.
He's missing.
He's missing in action, yes. Also, Andrew is not here today. He's at a wedding. And also, Billy is on a different thing. He's doing something else today. But them two guys will be back next week for sure. So let's jump into some news, Jody.
We have some exciting news out of Australia.
Oh, we do, yes.
Because, Australia is about to get its first 900 megahertz 4G network.
Oh, wow.
With an announcement this morning that Telstra is set to add the frequency band into its existing 4G network offerings to complement the 1800 megahertz spectrum it already has. So, what does that mean to you?
Is that 4G for the phones or 4G for the adapter thing?
It's basically 4G for both mobile phones and tablets.
Is it?
Mobile broadband dongles.
Okay.
So at the moment they just have 1800, which works better in metro areas.
Mm-hmm.
The new frequency will work better in regional areas, because the lower the frequency, the longer the distance.
Yep.
And they are also bringing in something called LTE Advanced, where they combine both of the frequencies together for super fast 4G LTE.
Nice.
So, nice. They are rolling that out in all the major cities. So they will bring in, you know, the LTE Advanced, and they are also going to roll it out to the major regional areas, so they will sort of have better 4G reception now.
When would that be happening, Mark?
I don't believe that they have started rolling it out yet. I do know they are actually testing it in North Brisbane at the moment, as well as a few other places like Alice Springs, though probably not towards, you know, the middle end of the year.
Yeah, good stuff. I'm with Optus and I get fantastic 4G where I am. I'm very close to a tower, so I'm happy with my 4G. How's your 4G? Do you get good 4G where you are?
I don't have 4G where I am. Though where I work, we have, you know, lightning fast 4G. I think it's about 80 megaseconds. It's pretty insane.
Wow, that's fast. That's fast. Go ahead, Jacob. Go ahead, Jacob.
Good Lord. What we have is like three.
Wow.
Well, I'm right in the Brisbane CBD, so that's probably why.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. Telstra's great. Optus is great with 4G. Jody, how's your 4G where you are? Do you have 4G where you are?
Yeah, we do. And, you know, it's good. You know, it depends on where you are in the signal. We have different service providers, but generally I'd say overall, you know, I mean, obviously the 4G is much faster than the old 3G was.
Mm-hmm.
So
definitely. All right. What about you, Craig Ship? Do you have 4G where you are?
Not very prevalent down here. Are you still getting an echo from me?
No.
Does it sound okay? Okay, so the times that I've been able to test it, and I don't have any devices myself, but I've been with friends that have had it, not nearly as fast as what you've shown in your screen shares when you've shared your speeds.
Yeah, no.
I mean, yours are at least twice as fast as what we generally get here in the U.S.
Definitely. And I always thought that you guys out in the U.S. have better internet than us, well, faster. Anyway.
Not for wireless.
Well, what about
wireless? Is really, really bad here.
Wow, unbelievable! All right, we'll wait for that to happen then, Mark, for the Telstra 4G then.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting news.
It is good news. All right, Jody, more news.
Oh yes, new gamers are going to love this one.
Yeah.
So the interesting thing is that today Sony had a 2-hour PS4 event. So they showed a bunch of awesome looking games, and they showed a new controller, but they didn't show the console. So we've seen specs, we've seen the controller, but not the box. Wow. No price, no release date. We don't even know when Sony is going to say more, but there's no denying that there's a lot of people who are very, very excited about a PS4. So are you guys gamers?
Well, I have an Xbox, but I won't be buying one. Jacob, what about you? What's your view on this story?
Not too well, because I would have liked to see the system. Mm. And when I was reading further, I think they said there would be like 10 months before they release the actual system.
That's crazy. Why put an event on and not show the console? That's crazy.
No kidding.
What? Kidding about what?
I said no kidding.
No kidding, yeah, I agree. Yeah. Mark, what's your view on that?
I think the price point is the important thing. I noticed yesterday EB Games have put it up for pre-sale.
Okay.
I believe they are charging around 800. Though I don't know if the console is going to sell very well if the price is too high.
You know,
I personally buy all of my games through Steam now, you know, just on the PC.
Yeah.
And I couldn't see myself spending any more than $400 or $500 on a dedicated gaming console.
Oh, no. So, I wouldn't be paying, nah. That's just unbelievable. I wouldn't be paying $900 for a PS3. That's just crazy.
So hopefully, crazy. You know, that price is completely wrong. They really have no idea what the final price is going to be. I think they just want, you know, a bit of pre-order money.
Yeah, exactly. What about, Jacob, you mentioned the interface. You said it looked like the Xbox 360.
Yeah, it looked like a direct copy of the Xbox 360 system.
Wow, okay, interesting.
Yeah, only blue and white.
That's crazy. Jody, do you have an Xbox or a PS3? Or?
You know what, you're going to laugh. I think we have a PS2. You know? My kids, yeah, I mean, I'm not a big gamer myself, But I did want to get the Wii U because I like the there's something that you do that you're exercising when you're doing it. I forget what it is, but anyway, that was the one that I kind of pegged I was going to get next.
Okay, all right, enjoy that. Craig, do you game at all or not?
No, I don't. I've never gotten into it, and I've kind of stayed away from it because I work so much on my computers that I don't also want to be using them to play.
Okay,
if that makes any sense.
That's good stuff. You got an iPad and stuff. Do you game on the iPad?
Yeah. No, I don't really use any games on that. I've got some on there for the kids to use and so on, but no, I don't use any games on it.
All right, good stuff. Jody, next news story?
We've got an exciting story out of...
Just mute yourself, Craig. Just mute yourself. Thanks, mate.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Jody.
No, Craig, for some reason we're getting an echo from you, but anyway, there's an exciting new product on the horizon that you might have heard of called Google Glass, and if you thought $900 might have been a bit much for the PlayStation... For about $1,500 US, you might be able to get the Google Glass. You also have to have a compelling tweet. But what is Google Glass? Basically, it is a pair of glasses, or it looks like glasses, but it lets you take pictures, record video without using your hands, send the images to friends, post them online, see walking directions, search the web by voice command, view language translations. Like, basically, it's like wearing a computer on your head. If you want yours, you have until February 27th, which is just for us 5 days, for you 4 days away. What you have to do is write a Google Plus or Twitter post with the hashtag if I had glass. No more than 50 words telling what you would do with the glasses. The Google judges are going to pick the winners who can attend an event to pick up their glasses in New York, San Francisco, or Los Angeles. And Google will accept the $1,500 and fork over the glass.
Wow. So they have to buy, you have to buy them. Is that just not a, that's not a prize, is it?
It's a prize. You get to buy them.
Oh, wow.
That sounds a bit stingy.
Wow.
What's your view on that, Mark? I know. What's your view on that? Would you buy them or not?
Oh, not for $1,500. You would think that Google has enough money to just give them to you.
Exactly. And personally, I can't see myself wearing glasses to check email and stuff. I use my iPhone for that.
I would like to fill something in with that.
Go ahead, Jacob.
I would never use them because, for one, the glasses that they made for the sunglasses part look very shoddy.
Yep, definitely. What about you? Go ahead.
One more.
Go ahead.
Where would the memory be put?
I'm not sure.
Or you have a little backpack on your side or something?
It must be somewhere in the side there in the glasses. I don't know, I'm sure, mate. It must be somewhere there.
Probably
somewhere.
Only get like 8 gigs.
I don't know. Jody, what do you think about these glasses?
I think it's major neat, and I want one.
Are you serious?
Get it for me. I'll go to New York and pick them up.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe you should tweet at them on Twitter then. Any more news stories?
Yeah, we have a couple more. Apparently, Apple has a big price cut. They surprised consumers today. They announced they lowered the price of the 13-inch MacBook Pro with Retina display, which, in my opinion, is one of the coolest machines they make.
Wow.
It didn't make much sense for them to cut the price so soon after its release, because if you remember, the 13-inch did not have Retina display until just recently. At the time, the 13-inch model was less than 4 years old. That did not stop Apple from reducing the price, which prompts the critics to speculate, well, what's the cause, all right? So there have been signs that the smaller Pro machines are selling poorly, especially after bloggers got a hold of the device. In terms of gaming performance, there isn't much, according to The Verge. While Retina MacBook Pro was easily the most desirable 13-inch Mac laptop to date, the high price and lack of discrete graphics make it a tough call versus the either more powerful 15-inch Retina Pro or the affordable 13-inch Air, according to CNET. So apparently their problems may not be limited to disappointing viewers and a weak launch. The entire computer segment is expected to remain stagnant throughout the first half of the year. Taiwan-based supply chain makers are hopeful that the sales are going to pick up after Intel launches the new Haswell platform in June. So some interesting things about Apple. I mean, did you guys see recently that Scoble said he's Yes. Switching over to Android?
Yes, I did. That's I can't get my head around that. That's unbelievable.
That's unbelievable. I mean, he's been a big fanboy forever.
He has, and what is it to do with the phone, the phones, or what? Or what is it?
The phone, I think he's switching over to the whole platform. I think what he thinks is really cool is the Waze and some of the applications that Google came out with. And there's been a lot of scuttlebutt going on that people feel like Apple has kind of fallen behind the times. And, you know, you can't help but think that maybe without the leadership of Steve Jobs, you know, that they've not been quite as innovative as they had been previously.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely, definitely. Well, I'm not moving anywhere away from Apple at all. I love the iPhone.
I love my iPods.
And when they bring out the iPad Mini with Retina, that's going to be heaps of good. I'll be getting one. Mark, what's your view on that? Do you know who Robert Scoble is?
The name rings a bell. I've heard him, in the news every now and again. In regards to, the actual Apple products, I probably used to be the biggest Apple fanboy out there. Though I've started moving away from them a bit lately. I still think they have the best, tablet on the market, though I think they've fallen behind a bit, with mobile phones.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, they need to put out another phone this year, I think.
Yeah, I think, I'm currently using the Galaxy Note 2, and I went to use the iPhone 5 the other day, and it just, feels really tiny in your hands.
Yeah, it does. It does. It does indeed.
It feels tiny? The iPhone 5?
For me, it does.
Wow.
Well, I was holding Andrew's phone the other day when I caught up with him the other day in Melbourne, and the 4S is very heavy to the iPhone 5. The iPhone 5 is very light.
There is a noticeable weight difference.
Yeah, it is.
And I've come across a few people that actually prefer the weight of the 4S. I'm not sure what your thoughts are. There's some people seem to prefer the weight in the older phones.
Really?
I'm not sure.
Wow, I love the iPhone 5. It's really light. You wouldn't even know it's in your pocket.
I think because it feels lighter, people might get the impression that, it's going to be easier to, smash it up or something like that.
Yeah, true. Good point. Jacob, what's your view on that?
I like the iPhone 5, but I agree. It being the iPhone 4 being a little bit heavier.
And the 4S I was talking about.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say.
The iPhone 5. Jody, when are you getting your new phone?
I have another couple of months. But, interestingly enough, this morning on my phone, and this is the first time I've seen this happen, Apple actually pushed an update out with a message on my screen that said, you need to update your phone. There's a new update that's supposed to improve the memory or the battery.
Oh, wow.
So that was the first time I recollect actually seeing a notification on my home screen saying, hey, you got to update.
Yep.
So, it seems I can't really tell yet whether it's improved the battery or not. I know that battery life has been an issue for the 4S.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely.
Yeah. And shout out to Amy Woods for retweeting my tweet saying I'm recording Tech Webcast right now. Thanks, Amy. Any more news, Jody?
One more interesting story. If you're a privacy advocate, you might find it creepy or worrisome. But if you're a marketer, you might be thrilled by the moves that Facebook is making to bring online and off world together. So what they're doing is they have initiatives that are bringing like the sales process and bringing goods and services into Facebook. So you can send real life things through Facebook to other people. Kind of an interesting twist. I don't know if any of you have seen the you can order presents and have them shipped. But the other thing that is going on has to do with their new graph search. And the concern is that there's been a lot of discussion about Facebook and privacy, and apparently there's a number of privacy bills in Congress. The FTC has recently stepped up its privacy advocacy and scrutiny, and it's not clear at this point whether any of the legislation will be passed in 2013 around privacy, the use of consumer data, but more and more Facebook has kind of changed the field, in terms of consumer data and bridging the online and offline world. And in fact, they're somewhat innovative, and it could change the way that marketing is done. But, you know, with that comes a price, because it is invasive and it is taking pieces of your profile and putting them together in a way that perhaps nobody's done before. And I'm just curious, I mean, first of all, have you guys seen any, like, more of the advertising that's being done on Facebook? And how do you feel about Facebook using your information to market things and target things to you?
It depends on what it is. I've seen a few ads on the iPhone app, which got an update this morning. So, yeah, did you get that update at all, Brady?
A Facebook update?
Yeah, the app.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, every day I get app updates. I probably did it this morning while I'm still half asleep.
Okay, cool. Yeah, Mark, what's your view on that story?
I think they're becoming more and more noticeable. Like, if you like a page on Facebook, say you liked the page like Kogan on Facebook 2 years ago, that might come up in your friend's news feed saying, you know, Mark liked Kogan.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you should like it too. Or,
yeah.
So I'm not a big fan of that. You might like a page, you know, a very long time ago, forget about it, and all of a sudden it's being advertised.
Yeah,
you definitely know, to your friends that you like that particular product or brand.
Yeah, for sure. Jacob, do you have a view on that?
I don't like it, because who knows? Like, if someone's sitting out there watching, and yet you probably get one of those fake miscellaneous links on one of those ads. I don't like to see my friends up there.
Yeah, that's kind of creepy. You know, Brad, I'm looking at this Facebook. In fact, I just got it on my phone, the Facebook update.
Yep.
And one of the things that's kind of interesting, you can call friends for free right from Facebook.
Yes, you can.
I believe that's integrated with Skype now, isn't it?
That's only for US and Canada at the moment. We can't do that in Australia yet, which sucks.
Oh, you can't?
No, you can't. No.
Only Jody and I.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you got 4G now, so...
We do have 4G, yeah. We do have 4G. All right. Yep. Any more stories, Jody?
That's the news.
Great stuff. Thanks for doing that for us today. That's good stuff. We got Mark from Brisbane. He does tech reviews. Welcome, Mark.
Thanks for having me.
No problem, mate. Tell us about what you do and YouTube channel and website. Tell us about what you do.
Well, in my spare time, I, you know, upload tech videos to YouTube. That started probably 2 years ago. It's sort of a bit of a hobby. You know, I'm trying to, you know, constantly improve. I sort of need to work on the quality of my videos. I'm not big on the whole editing. I sort of just record something and upload it.
Yeah.
And my day job is working in technical support for an online store that sells mobile phones.
Okay.
And I also just study marketing at the moment.
Okay, good stuff. What's your favorite review you've done so far?
Probably the Magic Cube. You might have seen it on my channel. It's a projection keyboard. It's probably my most popular video on there.
Okay.
It's basically this little box, and you turn it on and it projects the keyboard onto the surface, and you can actually just type on your desk, you know, by touching the projection on your desk. And, you know, that just connects via Bluetooth to your computer or your mobile phone. You know, it's a pretty good device. It's not super cheap, though.
How much was that, mate?
I was able to borrow it from work. It's gone down now. Now it's 150. When it first came out, I think it was 300.
Oh, wow.
So I was lucky enough. It's called the Celluon Magic Cube projection keyboard. It's a little box, basically, and it will just, you know, project the keyboard onto your desk. And it can sense if your fingers are hovering over the projection, and it's unbelievably accurate. You wouldn't believe how accurate it is.
Wow. All right, Jacob, any questions for Mark?
Any apps that you would like to review that you can't find right now?
That I can't find.
Yeah. like if there was a certain one that you wanted, but they haven't made it yet, what would you like to see?
That's a bit of a tough one. I'm not sure.
That's a crazy question, actually.
It is a crazy question, Jacob, but he actually reviews products, mate.
It's a good question. I just can't think of an app that I don't know doesn't exist yet.
Well, I'll switch the question to product.
Is there a product out there that I want to review or?
Yeah.
I'm not too sure, really. Probably if I say Google Glass, if I didn't have to pay for it, I would review that pretty quickly. You know, the Galaxy S4, if I got to review that before it was released, you know, that's wishful thinking.
Good answer.
most of it's just wishful thinking, really. You know, if I got to review the PS4 or the Xbox 720, whatever it's going to be called.
Yep.
I still need to, you know, check out the Nintendo Wii U. I haven't, you know, played with that at all yet. You know, I could probably go and maybe borrow one of them or review it in store.
Yeah, definitely. So, Mark, do you get stuff sent to you to review and that sort of thing? Or
Occasionally, though, because I work for a mobile store, I'm able to, you know, borrow a lot of mobile phones and tablets. And, you know, I occasionally get emails, you know, asking to review different applications and all of that, though.
That's good.
Some of them I do, others I sort of keep away from, you know, I sort of test the app, and if I don't think it's very good, then I probably won't do it.
Okay. Well, do you know a guy by the name of Paul Carey? He does YouTube, he does sort of what you do. Do you know a guy by that guy? Do you know him?
I'm not sure that I do.
Paul Carrick 12, his name. He's on YouTube. He's just put out a new iPhone app today, and I want to plug that. So check that out. It's called Paul Carrick 12. What it's called? Does he? It's
all about. I'll check his channel out on YouTube.
Yeah, check it out, mate. It's really good. Have you got any questions, Jody?
You know, I was going to say, Mark. I like the layout and design of your site, and I find your reviews are very entertaining and insightful. I like them a lot. Yeah. Now, my question with regard to, are you mostly like Windows based? Because I see you've got a review of Windows 8, or do you also do the iOS products?
I'm completely unbiased. If you look at my channel, you will see Linux videos, Windows, Mac OS X, you know, Android, iOS. You know, anything tech-related, I like it, really. And I believe that's probably how it should be. You know, on YouTube these days, you have a lot of Apple fanboys, Windows fanboys, Android fanboys, you know. So I really just like any type of technology that's good. Though I'm currently using Windows 8 at the moment. I had an iMac this time last year. Though I just found that it wasn't fast enough for my needs, and you know, I didn't have enough money to, you know, go and get a $3,500, you know, iMac, you know, Apple Tower that would have been powerful enough. So I just went back to building my own PC, installed Windows 8 on it. So, in answer to your question, I sort of like a bit of everything, really. You know, I'm not sort of pro Windows or pro Mac. I'm sort of, you know, I like a bit of everything.
Good stuff.
If you had a crystal ball and you said, hey, this one, no, you know, because I think about, okay, I'm older than you guys, and I think about like the old VHS and Betamax, you know, where Betamax was actually a better technology, but VHS took over.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah, you heard of that. They probably don't even have VHSs because they've been replaced by CDs. It's like the old 8-tracks. But my question is, like, if you were looking at all of these technologies and you say, you know what, I think that this is the one that's going to win. This is the one that's going to stick around because. What would it be?
In terms of the operating systems? Or?
Yes, operating systems.
I know it's a bit tough at the moment, actually, with the whole move to cloud. Though, in terms of mobile operating systems, I think Android is going to remain number one for a very long time due to the fact that any manufacturer can put Android on their device at any price range. You can get a $100 Android phone, you can get a $1,000 iPhone 5, Android phone. So Android's always going to remain number one in mobiles for a very long time, I believe. You know, iOS, you know, there are still going to be a lot of people that, you know, go out and buy iPhones, iPads, so they won't be the dominant market share, maybe number two or number three. And I think that Windows Phone 8 is currently trying to get third place, and I think that, you know, BlackBerry is either going to be in fourth place or, you know, might die a slow and painful death. And in terms of the actual desktop operating systems, it's a bit hard to tell because Microsoft are trying to, you know, integrate desktops, mobiles, tablets, and the next Apple operating system is kind of going to do the same. They are going to try and sort of connect all of the devices more. So I think it's a bit more unpredictable with the, you know, desktop computers.
Definitely, definitely. So you... So what sort of things have you reviewed so far, Mark? What sort of products? Name a couple, mate.
Well, I've reviewed quite a few mobile phones or, you know, done a, you know, a few quick comparisons, you know, like the Galaxy Note 2, Galaxy S3, HTC One X, mm-hmm. Sony Xperia S, a few different tablets like the Galaxy Tab 2, the iPad, you know, a few different Linux operating systems. So that was a while ago. But yeah, it's just, you know, I sort of just make videos on a whim, really.
Yeah, definitely.
But, oh, yeah, yeah, at the moment, you know, I'm probably just going to release a few more Linux ones within the next week since I haven't done them in quite a while.
Cool, cool. And how are you liking the Note 2 so far?
Oh, I love it. It's probably the best mobile I've ever had. It's got extraordinary battery life. I used to have, you know, the iPhone 4 a while back.
Yeah.
And I used to have to charge it at least 2 or 3 times a day. Wow. But with the Note 2, I take it off charge in the morning. I don't charge it at work or anywhere all day long. I get home and the battery can still be anywhere from 90 to 50%, depending on how much I use it.
Oh, wow. How much was that? 90 to 50%? So?
Like, if I don't touch it that much at all, apart from checking a couple of SMS messages, if I take it off charge at 8 in the morning and I get home at about, you know, 6 at night, it can sometimes be at 90%, which is, you know, insane.
Jeez.
So if I'm using it quite a bit throughout the day, it can still be at, you know, 70, 60%, you know, by the time I get home at night, which is pretty good. I'm, you know, really happy with that. I literally only have to charge it once per day rather than 2 or 3 times a day like I did with the iPhone.
Dude, that's unbelievable. Jake, what do you think about that?
Pretty cool.
Would you get a Note 2?
No, I'm probably going to be sticking with my pay-as-you-go phone.
Okay. All right, good answer. Jody, what do you think about that? About the Note 2? The Note 2? Would you get Note 2?
Here's the thing. Mark, I'm looking at your picture and I'm saying, man, this guy is pretty young. And you have a really in-depth knowledge of a lot of different technologies. How did you learn all this? Is this something that you just picked up? Are you self-taught or is this something you studied?
It's just general knowledge, really. I don't know, I'm probably just too much of a nerd. Read a lot of the online articles on Gizmodo, try and get my hands on whatever product I can. Probably just self-taught, really, just reading online and just playing around with things.
That's good. That's good. And what made you get into this sort of thing?
I'm not sure, really. I believe my first video was back in 2010. I just purchased a new HP laptop, and I thought I would upload a video to YouTube, so it wasn't planned or anything, just something I started doing as a bit of a hobby, really.
Definitely. Now you've been listening to podcasts, so you did a review on Pocket Cast.
That's an app for I believe it's on the iPhone as well. I believe I reviewed it on Android.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty good app.
It is.
I believe it's one of the better ones out there.
So do you listen to many podcasts?
Not as many as I used to. I used to live on the Sunshine Coast and work in Brisbane. So back when I lived on the Sunshine Coast, I had about 4 hours of driving that I needed to fill with podcasts. Though at the moment, I only listen to a couple, and most of them are just, you know, the types that you would hear on the radio, really. And I sometimes listen to, you know, Your Tech Life, which I believe is with Trevor Long and Stephen Fennec.
Yeah, Trevor Long. Yeah, great. That is a great podcast. But please, let's keep listening to Tech Webcast.
Yeah,
TechLuster.
Oh, yeah, and TechLuster. Yeah, make sure you keep listening to them.
Yeah, I listened to last week's podcast. I listened to last week's podcast last night for this show. Yeah, it was pretty entertaining.
Yeah, That's good. Did you like the race call that Wayne did?
Oh, yeah, that was pretty impressive. so did he used to do that for a living? Or
I think he just does it for fun, I think. The race call, he does it pies and that sort of thing, you know?
I did a pretty good job.
He did. Did a good job indeed. And now tell us, what else do you do?
I don't know. My life's a bit boring, really. I'm mainly working Monday to Friday. I'm currently studying marketing 2 nights a week.
That's good.
I do YouTube videos on the weekends and late at night sometimes. But yeah, pretty boring, really, apart from the occasional YouTube video.
Good stuff. Who's your favourite YouTube person at the moment?
I'm not sure. I haven't really had much time for YouTube as I used to. Though I always used to like watching, do you know Chris Perillo?
Yes, I know Chris Perillo, yes.
You know, I always used to like watching his videos. And, you know, back probably a year or two ago, I was one of those people, you know, commenting on his live stream that he does. Also, you know, Wilson Tech Run, you know, I like how he sort of brings a bit of, you know, comedy personality to his reviews, and he's sort of moved away from geeky to more of a, you know, sort of general comedy review format.
Definitely. What about some Aussie YouTubers? Do you have any favourite Aussie YouTubers?
There was one I had a while back, though I think... he's sort of gone off YouTube. His name used to be, I think, Aussie Tim.
Aussie Tim. Yeah, I know Aussie Tim. Yeah, yep.
So I think a while back, I think he was having a few issues. So I think a while back, he basically deleted his main channel and most of his videos, and he's sort of gone offline a bit lately.
Yeah. No, he was on this podcast a while back, and he was actually paying out Telstra. I'm not sure why, but.
He's very opinionated when it comes to big corporations and things like that.
But that's his opinion. What about Bilsa57? Do you know who that guy is?
No, I don't recognise that name.
Oh, well, he does really cool tech reviews as well. Check that guy out too.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, definitely check it out. Jacob, any more questions for Mark before we go?
You probably answered it. I was just going to ask, when was your first review that you ever did, and what was it?
It was the HP laptop back in 2010. And after that, I believe, I'm just quickly checking my channel now. After that, I then sort of started doing a few Linux videos. You know, I got my first Android tablet back then, which was... the Dell Streak, so I did a few videos on that.
Yep.
You know, a few different Linux reviews on, you know, the different distributions out there.
Yep.
That's pretty much how it started. And then I just started getting more into hardware, and then I slowly got into, you know, the whole Mac ecosystem. Then I sort of went back out of that. So, yeah.
Definitely. All right, Mark. Well, Jay, any more questions for Mark before we wrap up?
No, but I'm going to continue to follow you, Mark. I like your blog, and I like what you're doing. So thank you so much for being on the show.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
And thanks, Mark.
Send me your links to your Twitter or YouTube profile pages, I will, you know, subscribe.
All right, mate. Are you on Facebook at all, buddy?
I do have an account. You know, I don't really use it that much. I sort of... You know, Twitter's my preferred social network.
Too easy. All right, well, I'll send my links your way on Twitter and stuff. And what is your Twitter username, by the way?
It is twitter.com/ Mark with two R's and David with two I's. So it's a bit, you know, unusual.
That's cool. What made you do that name?
I don't know. It's just fun. It's like when you were younger and you make a Hotmail email.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. I made a YouTube channel with Brad 2007. I'm not sure why I did that. That's just so lame.
It's just an online screen name I've sort of been using for a while now.
And so is Jazzbot32669 as the Twitter username. Jacob?
Yep.
What's your Twitter username, mate?
System gave it to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. What is your Twitter username, mate, so people can follow you?
Hey! You already said it, buddy.
Say it again, so people can listen. Can just in case I forget, say it again.
Jazzbot 32669 and minutes with 1Z.
All right, good stuff, Jody. Sorry, before Jody, mine is Brad Oz on a Tech Webcast. Jody, what's your Twitter username and Facebook?
You can find me. Yeah, you can find me on Twitter as Sunswept. And most of the other places you can find me online as webmarcom.net. I also have a podcast called A2SM. It stands for Addicted to Social Media.
Good stuff.
And yeah.
Good stuff. Do you want to say anything about Apple before we go, Jody?
About Apple?
Yeah.
Apple, I'm counting on you. I'm waiting for my next phone. Make it a 6.
And I'm actually waiting for the iPad Mini Retina.
Yeah, we want we want a better slice of Apple.
Yeah, I still can't get over Robert Scoble moving from Apple to Android. That's I'm crazy.
And it's a bit funny.
Go ahead.
I the co-founder of Apple, Steve Wozniak.
Yeah.
It's a bit funny, you know, thinking he's the co-founder of Apple, yet he's sort of a big Android user now.
It is. Everyone's moving to Android for some reason. Everyone's moving to Android.
It's a tipping point. It's the next best thing.
It is. It is indeed. All right. Well, that's it. Thanks, Jody. Thanks, Jacob. And thanks, Mark, for being on, mate.
Thanks for having me.
And also thank you to Craig Ship for being on for 10 minutes and he dropped out. He never called me back.
Hi, Glenn from Aussie Tech Heads. Join Will, Eric and myself as we bring you the latest, most up-to-date, important tech news that affects you from Australia and the world. A weekly podcast available each Friday through iTunes. Watch the live stream recording of the show at live.thesecrethub.com each Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. or GMT plus 10. Call in live via Skype or chat in our lounge. However you get us, just make sure you do. Listen or visit our website for more information, www.aussietechheads.com.au. Aussie Tech Heads, Australia's longest running tech news podcast.
Well, that's it for Tech Webcast this week. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed having your mind expanded. Tune in next week for more tech talk with Brad, Jason, and whatever crazy guests they've managed to rope in. Don't forget to get the Tech Webcast app from iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast, and of course, check us out on Facebook too. Until next time, may the tech be with you. Peace!